welcome to the Hoop Collective podcast. We talk about the NBA, which we are doing on Thursday evening, a couple hours after the NBA's trade deadline. Joining me from Philadelphia, where a little trade went down today, is Tim Bontemps.
You mean guys got traded here today? Really? I didn't know.
Head over to the airport. They're on their way if they're not already there.
They can just drive down 95, Brian. Don't even need to fly. Not flying from New York.
I'm sure they're flying. Joining us from the American Airlines Center in Dallas, Texas, where there was a trade made today. There's a game tonight, but I'm interested in hearing what this is. What happens with this big trade today is Ben McMahon.
Howdy, partners. Our buddy Ohm is here too. Ohm Young Isaac. And he tells me when the Clippers shoot around today, he said there was nice little posters of Kristaps Porzingis out on the seats. I just made a trip through the bowl. The posters are gone. I'm not sure what happened.
Can't imagine why.
Scramble. Durita operation. Scramble, scramble. I'll bet if you went looking in some dumpsters, you might be able to find them out in the loading dock. So we had a pretty active trade deadline today. Remember last week we did a, we talked about on our Hoop Collective short about, the most impactful trade deadline day deals ever. Well, I think this one is leapt up into it because the definition of a blockbuster, James Harden and to Philadelphia for Ben Simmons and a bunch of ancillary pieces. This has dominated our professional lives for the last few days for sure.
I would amend that to the past several months, at least for some of us.
Yeah, for you, for sure. Yeah. But these last few days, you know, for those of us in this profession, I mean, we work all the time, nonstop on working with sources. But these 6-7 days leading to the trade deadline is borderline insane, the amount of communication and talks that go on. And like 98% of it is useless. And I've talked about this before, but whatever, that doesn't matter. What matters is they got this deal done a couple hours before the deadline. And Bontemps, you've covered this entire year. We've talked about it a lot on here. In my view, once the Nets came to terms with the reality that James Harden didn't want to be there and what that means, a lot of guys don't want to be places. But what it means when James Harden doesn't want to be where you with your team, once they came to terms with that reality, it was all about negotiating the exit. And James Harden essentially defecated on the floor last week and forced this to happen. And
so, maybe his hamstring tightened up when he was squatting.
And So Bontemps, first off, let me just ask you, what do you think about the deal itself? Phil, you know, go over, if you wouldn't mind, what you wrote all about today and
sure.
And what you think about just the deal itself.
So the Sixers are getting James Harden and Paul Millsap from the Nets, and the Nets are getting Ben Simmons, Seth Curry, Andre Drummond, 2 first round picks. One this year, next year, one very far in the future.
It's either they can choose to take the pick this year or they can defer it to next year.
Right. They can have this year's pick or next year's pick, and then they can have one in, I think, either 2027 or 2028. Look, I think the other Tim had to deal with this last year in Houston, right? When James Harden decides he is done with something, it's pretty clear he's done.
And he's an elite quitter.
And you could see over the last week, you know, this situation was obviously in a rough place. And, you know, I think logically this makes sense for everybody, right? The Sixers get James Harden, the guy Daryl Morey has obviously wanted for a long time, had a lot of success with in Houston. Could be a very interesting combination with Joel Embiid here in Philadelphia. I'll get to that part in a second. And the Nets get Ben Simmons, who I think can be a really good fit with Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, is a lot cheaper, is locked up for a long time. They get Seth Curry, who I think can fit with them too. Ironically, we joked a lot last year about Andre Drummond with the Lakers. I actually think Andre Drummond can help the Nets some. Like, I do actually think as a big body who could give them some rebounding, I'm not saying it's a huge deal, but like, they had literally no size.
Some nights he can really help you, and other nights he can't. But I mean, on some nights he can really help you.
He's at least look, if they're playing, say, Philly in a playoff series, they had literally nobody to guard Joel Embiid. I'm not saying Andrew Drummond's going to slow down Embiid. He's not. But at least they have a body to throw at him who can get some rebounds down. So
I think your point is, like, that's not a throw-in. Like, that was actually, you know.
I can understand why the Nets were like, right. I can understand why the Nets were like, hey, if we're going to do this trade, we'd like to get Drummond. Now, obviously, the big thing here is, how is James Harden going to fit with Joel Embiid in Philly? I have talked a lot.
And how long?
Right. So our Bobby Marks has reported he's going to opt into his contract, which is not a surprise. He gets the most money if he opts in and then signs a long-term extension with Philly. I'm sure he will do that. He will be being paid $60 million when he's 38 years old. That's not going to work, right? That's going to be bad. But you can say that now. It's fine. If Philly wins a championship in the next 1 to 3 years with Joel Embiid and James Harden, that will be great. All the money will be worth it, right? Like, as you say all the time, Brian, if you win a championship, you never have to say you're sorry. Banners hang forever. Flags fly forever. If they win the championship, this will all be great.
You don't have to say you're sorry unless you trade for Russell Westbrook and the Lakers are still apologizing. They just won a couple of years ago, but that's neither here nor there. Let's keep focused, guys.
Yes, we have to keep focused. We always keep focused on this pod. That, though, is a very, very high bar to reach. And look, Zach wrote a whole thing about James Harden in the playoffs last year. You and I, Tim, were in Houston in 2017 for game 6 against the San Antonio Spurs. I remember I was sitting with Kurt Goldsberry, who was then working for the Spurs. Before that game, 10 minutes before it started, Kawhi Leonard wasn't going to play. Mm-hmm. All the Spurs guys were furious. They're going to have to go back to San Antonio for game 7. Like, man, we had a chance to win this series. Now we're going to lose. I think the score at the end of the first quarter of that game was 9,000-10. And
I'd have to look it up. I believe Harden had more or as many turnovers as points, or it was really close in that game.
It was a catastrophic loss. And that's just one of several black holes on his resume in the playoffs. So for everything else that's gone on with James Harden, this is ultimately a put up or shut up moment for James Harden. He got what he wanted. Mm-hmm. He gets to Philadelphia. He's with Joel Embiid. He's going to have the ball all the time. Like, this is all set up for him. Well, but you know what I mean? He's going to be the point guard. He's not sharing point guard dues to anybody. Like, Tyrese Maxey is not going to be taking the ball from him. James Harden got what he wanted. He's got his co-star. He's here in Philly. He's going to have all his money. He's with Daryl Morey. All of it's set. So, like, this is it. If it does not work here, if they don't win big here, like, that's it. There's not going to be other chances. So, you know, look, we can talk all day about how bad the contract's going to be down the road. It's not going to be good. But this is on James Harden to make this work, because after everything else that's happened, this is the last chance saloon. And, you know, it's got to work, or else it's going to really be a long-term stain on his resume with the way these past couple situations have gone.
Or perhaps it's the last chance gentleman's establishment.
Who can say?
Yeah, who knows? But here's the thing. You better win this season. Because if we've learned anything about James Harden, next year ain't guaranteed. The expiration date on his partnerships with co-stars keeps getting shorter. And it went from 3 years with Dwight, where the last year and a half was miserable. 2 years with CP3, the last year was miserable. A year with Russ, most of that year was miserable. A little over a year with KD and part-time Kyrie. Clearly this year was miserable. So, you know, you got this year, and then we're going to see what happens next year. Forget the long-term, the contract. Forget that. You better win right now, because there is a short shelf life on James Harden partnerships. And, man, Daryl Morey in a lot of ways made his career by trading for James Harden, right? After, you know, Harden – and look, the one breakup you can't put at all at Harden's feet was Oklahoma City. They didn't want to max him. Clearly he was not just a max player, but a no-brainer max player.
The James Harden trade to Houston defined a lot of the last decade in the NBA. I mean,
that made
mammoth Daryl, transaction.
Yeah. And Daryl will be the first that made Daryl. This trade is a massive risk. This one could break him as far as Daryl's Philly tenure goes. I think I, I think we all expected Harden to end up in Philly. I personally, until the last few days, expected it to be this summer. I thought he would suck it up, give it a run with the Nets, you know, finish it up, and then, you know, they'd figure it out this summer. Clearly, he decided he wasn't willing to wait and, you know, shut it down on the court against the Kings, and then decided he wasn't even going to go through those motions anymore. He made this happen under those circumstances. I thought the Nets did pretty damn well. I thought the Nets did as well today as they could have possibly hoped for if this thing would have dragged into the summer.
Can I add one thing really quick, Brian? Obviously, we just spent a lot of time talking about James Harden breakups with teams. This all started when the Nets chose to bring back Kyrie Irving. This is about Kyrie Irving, ultimately.
The from the vaccine.
Everything
the,
that's happened, yeah. Yes. Allowing Kyrie Irving to be a part-time player is the genesis of everything that we're talking about today.
But if Kyrie was a no-time player, he was going to be, you know, look, James.
Hold on. I just think to be fair to Harden, I think it's worth pointing out when the Nets chose to have Kyrie Irving come back and be a part-time player, they were in first place in the Eastern Conference.
I think they Kevin Durant getting hurt.
I understand, but everything that's gone on since then, it goes back to that decision. And the decision to have Kyrie come back and be part in and part out. It's not a coincidence that over the last month, James Harden has said a bunch of times,
every time,
the same line. We really need this guy out here every game. This guy, you saw what he did today. We need him out here every game. He said it a bunch of times. So I just think it's worth pointing out, like, look, he clearly has a history of this, right? But it is very, I think, important to point out that this all started with that. And just the overall decision by Kyrie to not get the vaccine and him not playing this year is a huge part of this. And I just think it was worth us pointing out before we got into this any further.
Yeah. And that's ultimately why the Sixers gave up the picks and the couple of players. And Seth Curry, not a throw in.
Seth Curry's a good player on a cheap contract who really fits well with Joel Embiid.
Yeah. And will fit well with any team because he shoots the heck out of it.
Yes, he will.
By the way, what a cold business. Daryl trades Doc's son-in-law to a rival, so to get James Harden.
Andre Drummond is very close with one of Doc's sons also, and part of the reason he came to Philly was Doc really recruited him to come to Philly to be Joel's backup. Like, you know, I mean, Doc said today after practice, they were going to have practice and they canceled, and he talked about like how it's tough when you're a coach, you kind of welcome people in and you have to deal with tough situations. And 45 minutes later, his son-in-law and a close family friend were traded. You know,
yeah,
that's life in the NBA in a nutshell.
I think the Sixers knew for several days if the Nets took the offer that Seth was going to be in it.
Yeah.
So I don't think it was just something he found out today. At least I don't think the team did. I don't know when Seth found out, but I don't think he played that great last night or on Tuesday night. So I wonder if he speculated it.
Well, he's been pretty banged up for a while. So that wasn't one off.
Okay. Thing. Fair enough. The reason I think what you described, McMahon, the reason Philly had to do this now is because if you're going to pay all this stuff for James Harden, you need to do it for as many prime postseasons as possible. And I know that they had, and this was, it was a posture. Everything that happened, frankly, in the last 5 days was posturing. I mean, Steve Nash, I feel bad for him, him just blatantly lying.
I mean, what are you going to do?
After day. I mean, obviously it was possible there was no deal, but I mean, to say that there was not going to be a trade was, he was not being honest, but okay. But the concept
Jason Kidd kept telling us Luka or Kristaps Porzingis was the perfect co-star for Luka. Coaches are not, they are not under oath.
I got it. I think, it's a common, refrain that lying to the media is perfectly acceptable in the NBA.
But not only acceptable, it's a job required. Right.
But when you lie blatantly like that, we don't forget it. So the concept of the Sixers creating cap space next summer by trading off Tobias Harris, which they didn't have to do. Hello, Tobias Harris is still there. He can still play for you. And if you want to trade him to refit your team in the summer, you still have him to trade. So it wouldn't have been the same roster. But the concept of trading off Tobias Harris and Ben Simmons to create cap space would have negated the ability to compete for the title this year. And that they've opened that window. And I think the
Sixers and you would still would have been given, like, you probably are giving up the same amount of picks. Right.
Yeah.
If not more. Right. Cause at that point you people sort of know you're in a bind. So, I mean, it might've worked out that way, but
you know, Darryl, and the other thing here is I would have believed James Harden would have left, you know, 60, whatever million dollars on the table when I saw it.
Yeah.
Like that is a massive chunk of change.
Yeah. Because if he had signed outright with the Sixers, he couldn't have gotten the fifth year.
Right.
But really in all honesty, Daryl Morey has taken a victory lap because for 6 months, he said to everybody, no, I'm waiting. I'm waiting for the superstar. And this is the guy he wanted. And ultimately, Brooklyn knew that. And that was why they were able to extract this deal. And frankly, you know, Ben Simmons is 6 or 7 years younger than James Harden. His contract is less. His contract is cleaner. It's 3 more years, no opt-outs. We know that there were 7 or so, maybe more teams that wanted Ben Simmons over this last 6 months. If it doesn't work out with the Nets, if you don't like what you see for the rest of the season, you can entertain trading him again. Plus, these draft picks that they got, they can now take those out and go shopping with them. And you know, this summer, maybe they did a little bit today, but this summer, and look to add pieces to this roster as, you know, around Durant and Kyrie. And I think, you know, it left a lot of optionality for the Nets. And frankly, I think a guy who defends this terrifically on the perimeter, and I know Ben Simmons is going to defend. I mean, they don't need him to score. They have two elite level scorers. And you know, I don't know what's going to happen with Joe Harris, but now they have a great shooter in Seth Curry that they brought with them. Like, I mean, yeah, you want Ben to shoot an open dunk. Okay. But, you know, you don't need him to score that much. And so, I think Daryl Morey should be thrilled and he should be doing the, you know, the WWE flex because everybody who was like, no, take this offer from this guy, take this package from this guy. His strategy paid off.
Well, flex while you can.
Well, right. I mean, I hate giving him giving him that extension. That's why if I were the Nets, this was essentially something they had to come to terms with.
I don't feel like the Nets damaged their championship hopes this season, but their championship hopes this season didn't look real good before this deal was done. You know, and I'm very curious. The idea of Ben Simmons filling that kind of Draymond-esque, and it's not the exact same, but that dominant defensive player, complimentary offensive guy, you know, the skills to get him out. I mean, you could really talk yourself into, wow, this is a great fit if he accepts that role. Does Ben Simmons, you know, does he go in there thinking, okay, I'm the man, I'm a superstar? Then it could get real dicey real quick. If he accepts kind of, hey, here's how I can fit, here's how I can enhance two great players, It could be really interesting.
I mean, I am not a strategy expert, and you can make all your jokes here. I agree. I'm never going to compete with X's and O's. I'm never going to compete with analytics. But I have looked at Ben Simmons and said, this guy is a center in the modern NBA.
Yeah.
Not against Joel Embiid. I understand that. But
I'd pay to see that.
Yeah, Embiid's tweet today. Holy Moses. I mean, he calls himself Troel Embiid.
He was in just rare. That, really going that, back to the trades yesterday, but really.
I suspect the big fella had that one in the chamber.
As oh my gosh. I mean, I don't even.
since the day after the season ended last year.
Oh, I mean, listen, God. the other night I asked the big fella if he was going to be disappointed if they, could make a trade, and he, you know, said all the right things as he has this whole time. He's been, you know, towing the company line about we've got enough. And Kyle Newbeck from Philly Voice asked him, can you have Ben back if he doesn't get traded? And Joel made it very, very clear that sure, if he actually wants to be here, and went on and on and on about how all the guys are showing up every day and they all want to be there. He even said, Tyrese Maxey, I go at him and he, you know, doesn't get discouraged. He just keeps playing. Right. Like it was very clear where the Sixers were on this one. And everybody on the team openly talked about how this had just weighed on the franchise for months. And they were like openly smiling when I asked them, are you looking forward to having clarity on Thursday? Yes, this is going to be great. We can't wait to get this over with. Like usually you ask guys about that and they'll be diplomatic, say, oh, well, you know, this stuff happens or whatever. these guys were like, Tobias Harris has been traded four times in his career. He's like, this has been crazy. It's been weighing on me every day. And nobody knows better than him what this is like to get traded in the middle of the season. So yeah, I think Philly was more than ready for this to be over with. And, you know, I think to your point, Brian, if you're going to make this trade, you might as well get an extra playoff run out of James Harden, because it's much better to get one on the front end than to, you know, not have it on the back end.
Vivid Seats wants you to get to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seat Rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code HOOP. That's code HOOP, H-O-O-P. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats, experience it live. Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. Yeah, you're going to pay for probably a I don't even know how they're going to get out of this deal in the end, but it's going to be bad in the end. But
and I do like the fit for Brooklyn, like you guys have both said. I think it logically this trade made a lot of sense for everybody.
Can't you see Ben playing out of the post on offense?
Yes, I think I definitely think you can.
I'm curious: is he willing to be the guy? Is he willing to be the role man? Is he willing to set screens and roll?
Well, listen, I don't know if Joe Harris is going to be healthy, but think about a lineup with Kyrie Irving, Seth Curry, Joe Harris, Kevin Durant, and Ben Simmons.
There ain't a lot of defense out there,
but holy cow. Like the amount of space with him pushing the pace and those guys flying to the wings, like they could be deadly as an offensive team in that setup. And you've got Ben to run around and fly around and do stuff on defense. So I think the fit there could be really good. And I get why Philly did it too. Like, I know the contract is going to be rough later, but they go from having zero chance to win the championship to having a real chance. Like now they have James Harden instead of a black hole on their payroll. Like, I get why they did it. So now we'll see if they win and we'll see what happens in Brooklyn. And I know I'm going to be back here in Philly on March 10th when the Sixers play the Nets. That will be epic.
Ben Simmons.
Well, we'll see. But it also certainly sets up the possibility of a Sixers Nets playoff series, which would be unbelievable. If no Ben doubt. Simmons is playing here in a playoff series, that would be truly wild to watch.
And look, KD is 0-for-4 in terms of winning the championship with a Harden on his team. He's 2-for-3 in titles with a Curry on his team. So this drastically upgrades his odds. You want to talk about analytics, Wendy? That is real deep analytics right there, buddy.
All right. Well, I was going to be talking about this one for a long time, looking back at it. The second biggest trade of the day and the one that I popped, now, I had heard, you know, McMahon and I had communicated last night on a rumor that we had heard something about Porzingis maybe being available and that the Mavericks didn't do that deal, but they were listening. And that was, you know, in our world, and it made it out there. I can't remember if it got public and somebody else reported it, but.
Yeah. Jake Fisher reported this morning.
Okay.
Toronto thing.
Yeah. So Jake Fisher from Bleacher Report. So, but McMahon and I heard that last night and we sniffed around on it and ultimately we heard it wasn't going to happen. But so it was like, well, wait a minute. Porzingis is in play.
Well, and it was funny because kind of the response I got from the Mavs is, yeah, we're, you know, willing to listen, like Dragic and a pick would get the convo started, but would need a lot more. I think by a lot more was the Raptors being willing to put some salary filler in and accept it. And look, what they ended up doing with the Wizards, they get Spencer Dinwiddie, they get Davis Bertans, two buyer's remorse contracts that the Wizards have signed over the last couple of years. And essentially, it was one guy with a really big contract the Mavericks didn't want anymore for two guys with, you know, smaller contracts, but money all told is about equal.
Yeah, I mean, the Wizards didn't want anymore. isn't this, Tim, the Mavericks saying we really wanted Spencer Dinwiddie like that? I mean, they gave they gave up a pick in the deal too, right? Like they.
Well, I mean, they gave up a second rounder,
but still, like they, to me, this, at least to me, looking at from the outside looking in, this certainly seemed like Dallas saying we really value Spencer, and so we're going to take on this Davis Bertans contract, which is rough.
He is. I mean, hold on a minute. There's $63 million left on the Davis Bertans contract.
Right.
I mean, that's that,
well, I mean, he's been rough since he signed it.
I'm gonna go in here and I'll listen to Spin about how much they valued Spencer Dinwiddie. Come on, dude. This was about moving on from Porzingis. This was about kind of saying, hey, swing and a miss, new GM, new coach, moving on. And what's funny is, as miserable as Porzingis was under Rick Carlisle, Rick Carlisle valued him, it turns out, a lot more than Jason Kidd did. And look, like, availability matters, and he's you know, if you're lucky, he'll play 50 games in a year. You knock on wood and just hope and pray that he's available for the playoffs. And so they are getting back Dinwiddie, who, you know, they were looking for another guy who could create another score, some insurance for Jalen Brunson should he end up leaving in free agency. And there was some interesting stuff kind of floating about him today that didn't end up having a whole lot to it.
I got to say, let me just say that in my conversations with executives and agents over the last week, Jalen Brunson's name got brought up a lot as teams interested in trying to sign him and, you know, maybe making moves to do it. I heard three or four different scenarios. Now, they didn't really play out, but geez, oh man, I've never heard so much talk about a guy who's, you know, a high level role player,
young good player who's going to be an unrestricted free agent in a pretty weak free agent class. It's a, you know, I mean, it adds up to a good combination for him.
And he gets better every single year.
Yeah, look, I'm a big Jalen Brunson
fan. Is going to get 18 to 20 million, and I don't think it's going to be a bad contract. And you know what? He might get it to stay right here in Dallas. I think there's probably a pretty decent chance.
Well, let me also bring that up. You broke this story. Let's talk this out. After they did this deal, after the Wizards did this deal, what did they immediately do?
The Wizards or the Mavericks?
I'm sorry.
He meant the Mavericks. He's trying to set you up for your news break.
So the Mavericks have two starters. Honestly, they're second and third best players this season so far, who are eligible to be unrestricted free agents. We talked about Jalen Brunson, Dorian Finney-Smith's the other. They could offer both these guys right up until like the eve of free agency, 4-year extensions right in the $55 million range. They're getting it done with Dorian Finney-Smith. They're keeping him, and he's their best defensive player. He's the guy who guards the best score, whether it's 1 through 4, has become a great 3-and-D guy. Luka loves him, great role player. They're getting that done. That ain't going to be enough to get Brunson's going into unrestricted free agency. We know
because of salary cap rules, they can be extended, but they can only be extended for so much. Long story short, and so basically, in the era of these days where everything is called a max contract, where basically you just get the most you could possibly get paid, even though it technically, Freddie Smith got a max contract. Anyway, it's $14 million a year. That's good value for a player like that.
A little less, like 13 and change. But yeah, okay. And I tell you what, though, if he'd have gone unrestricted free agents, I was just talking to a GM last week who said, "Hey, I think he's a $15 million a year player." But
Dorian Finney-Smith's a good player at a position everybody wants. 3-and-D wings are the most valuable, you know, commodity outside of superstars in the league. Everybody wants and needs them.
Every good team needs that kind of role player, especially when he's a great locker room guy and embraces that role. He's happy in Dallas. You know, he didn't want to move. They got that done. Brunson's happy in Dallas. He doesn't want to move. That's not enough to get that done. And there was a lot of talk about the Knicks maybe making some moves that would create that kind of cap space. They didn't. I think the Mavericks kind of feel, you know, and we'll see. It's always possible to happen this summer. The Pistons are the other one that – it's well known they've got interest in Brunson. Hey, you're a great fit playing off Luka. Boy, you could be the same kind of fit playing off of Cade Cunningham. They do have that kind of cap space. They did knock on the Mavs door today. I was told it was a pretty brief conversation. They asked about Brunson. The Mavericks told them, sure, you know, we've got interest in Cade. And that was about that. To be continued this summer. But look,
I mean, Jeremy Grant would look good as a Maverick.
Yeah, I don't think that the Pistons were putting him on the table.
No.
Let's just be straight up. The Brunson trade, or I'm sorry, the Porzingis trade when they made it, was a blockbuster deal that the Mavericks were like, hey, we've got a guy who can be Luka's co-star for the next decade plus. That did not work out. They are back to square one.
The Knicks won that trade.
They did. They still owe a pick to the Knicks. They are back to square one in terms of finding a legit co-star for Luka. They've got some nice pieces. Finney Smith's a really nice player. You know, Brunson is, you know, if they keep him moving forward, he's a really good player. I mean, we can go on down the roster. They've got some really nice fits around him. They
no
do
stars,
not have
though.
Anything resembling a co-star. And today was a punt. You know, hey, they hope Dinwiddie was just a bad fit in Washington. They can get him back to being an effective bench scorer. They hope
Bontemps, didn't you tell me that you had some number? Like, didn't you think that Dinwiddie played well when he wasn't playing with Beal? Were you telling me that?
Yeah, I could pull those up while you guys are talking, so we can actually lay it out.
Yeah,
so
and Bertans totally fell out of favor. He was like a deep bench player. He's shooting like low 30s, but he's a career 40% 3-point shooter. They're hoping this move will kind of get his mojo back, and he can be a gunner off the bench.
Yeah, he left the country during the pandemic. He had an injury, and then he didn't play in the bubble because of his injury. And then he come after the bubble. He signed this big contract and he was out of the country for like a huge number of months because he never came back after March 2020, signed it overseas. And he came back last training camp and he was just like, not the same player.
Yeah.
And so it was like, it was buyer's remorse, like within like days, weeks. There was like, well, he'll get back. He'll get better, but he didn't.
Yeah, and I believe this is the first time that two Latvians were traded for each other. I'm going to have to get ESPN stats and info to dig into that one, but I'm pretty confident declaring that. But yeah, look, this is the Mavs, and it's a new GM, but it's the Mavs acknowledging, hey, the KP thing was a huge swing and miss. And so you break it, now you've got two, you know, it's always easier to move contracts when they're
they still owe first round picks to the Knicks that they traded.
Yeah, one. They still owe one of the two that they gave up. You know, look, it could have been worse. Dennis Smith Jr. could have ended up being a legit like NBA quality player. That didn't happen. But whatever. It was a big swing and a miss.
Dennis Smith Jr. helped lead the Portland Trailblazers to win over the Lakers on Wednesday night. I'd like to point that out.
Yeah, he also went 1-on-5 when they were up 5 points with 35 seconds left.
It's one of the more incredible last minute sequences of the game.
I've told you guys before, if your goal is to tank, playing DSJ in crunch time is a proven method. It helped get Luka to Dallas.
That's right.
But you know, going into Luka's, Supermax extension kicks in next season. Going into that, they still like they're still the search renews for a co-star. I always said Porzingis either has to be a legit co-star or the ticket to one. You know, he was neither, and that's tough.
Yeah, it's a tough hit, especially when you look at a team like Memphis. You know, not far away, they've got a bunch of young guys. You know, that are of a higher level. You know, obviously not for Luka, but you know, you look at a Desmond Bane, Jaren Jackson Jr., Ja Morant trio. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, that's not, you know, like you said, Jalen Brunson, really good player. Dorian Finney-Smith, really good player. Those guys are not at the same level. And if you're looking at them going forward, like Luka's right in the same time frame as those guys, right? Like that's who their competition's going to be going forward. They've got work to do.
Dinwiddie could be good for the Mavs. He's coming off an ACL and, he had good numbers this year when he didn't play with Bradley Beal. When he did play with Bradley Beal, they just didn't mesh. And so
the Mavs have been playing really well for a while. Luka's back into looking like a legit MVP candidate. You know, I don't think he will get the votes at the year because he did, stunk it up a little bit by his standards to start the season. But he's back to being that dude who any given night he can give you 35, 14, and 14. They're not a team that people want to line up to see in the playoffs, but it's hard to say, okay, they were a legit championship contender. And look, realistically, the Mavericks' best chance to become that contender is when they are the team where, another disgruntled star somewhere is saying, hey, I want to play in Dallas. I want to play with Luka. You know, that's going to be the Mavericks' best chance to get into that real elite type of status. And winner, if that happens, we shall find out over the next few years.
All right, well, before we move on, we have a big moment. Big, big moment. This is Carmack's trivia question.
First week of Carmack's. Me taking over the Carmack's trivia question after Brian's absolute collapse last week.
Carmack's told me they don't even want you to say the company name. They want me and Bond Temps to handle this.
I should just
this
take over the introduction too.
Yeah. Carmack said you got to ride in the trunk.
So
you
listen,
buy online or on the lot with Carmack at Carmack's.com. Hey, so, Bond Temps, what do you got?
So going forward, me and our stats and information ace, Matt Williams, are going to be coming up with these trivia questions since Brian.
I'm in trouble because
job.
Williams will totally stump us.
Wait, Matt Williams is a legend on our stats and info group. He's the best. But so
the Embiid free CarMax trivia question.
It is Embiid free. I think this is a fun question. Who is the player who has the record for being traded the most times in NBA history? Topical question.
Joel Embiid.
It's like my first guess is Chris Gatling.
Chucky Brown.
Chris Gatling is
it Ish Smith?
Not the answer. It is not Ish Smith.
Dang, he got traded today.
He did get traded today. Chris Gatling is one of a few guys that has been traded 8 times.
I remember one year Chris Gatling didn't get traded at the trade deadline and his team had a cake for him and like they had a party that he did not get traded.
Dale Ellis, Chris Gatling, and Dan Dickow were all traded 8 times. They are
what
not.
About
that is not
Drew,
the record.
Drew Gooden.
Didn't Luke Ridnour get traded like 6 times in like 3 weeks or something?
I know. Trevor Ariza.
Trevor Ariza is the answer. Trevor Ariza has been traded 11 times.
Because he got traded like 4 times last year. Last year, he went from Portland to Houston to Detroit to I don't even remember where. And it was like 4 times in a week.
Yes. As a secondary trivia question, one I asked today in the wake of the James Harden Ben Simmons trade, when is the last time two current All-Stars were traded for each other since Ben Simmons and James Harden were both All-Stars last year in the All-Star game?
Okay. Well,
Ben Simmons IT for Kyrie.
That's a good guess, but no, it is not.
Is this going to be an obvious one?
I mean, is there a hint? Can you give us a decade?
More recent than the IT Kyrie trade.
Oh,
CP3 for Russ.
No, that's not.
Yeah, Chris Paul wasn't an All-Star. That's right.
Same offseason though.
That offseason seems like 1,000,006 years ago. help us out, man.
Go ahead.
The answer is Kevin Durant for D'Angelo Russell.
Oh, 2019. Wow. We would have been here for a long time.
I mean, what about D'Angelo Russell for Andrew Wiggins? Oh, yeah. Wiggins hadn't gotten the K-pop boost by then.
Wow. We would have. I mean, that was a sign and trade. That was a nasty one. Oof.
I just asked that question because I was curious for my research. And Matt told me that, I said, well, we'll ask that. So there you go. Actual correct Carmack trivia question.
Not only does he come up with one great one, he comes up with two, which is more than you had in your entire tenure in charge of this thing. Tim Bontemps and the Hoop Collective from here on, baby.
I look forward to great trivia questions every week going forward. Thanks to the genius of Matt Williams and me just repeating it. So
I wish I had a defense. I have no defense. So I'm in LA. I've been here all week doing stuff with our TV operation.
By the way, this is the first all dress shirt edition of the Hoop Collective history.
No, I'm wearing a polo shirt. I took it off. Okay. It's like 90 degrees here today. It's actually really warm.
Tough life.
Super Bowl people.
super rough.
The Super Bowl people are having a great time out in LA this week. I was on the phone all week. So Lakers didn't do anything. And the only reason I think it's interesting is that, because I mean, they're not, you know, they're an all-so-ran team. I think it's interesting is that in the past, when LeBron James has like rattled the cage at the trade deadline, like one year, the Cavs made a 10 player trade on deadline day. One year they made 4 trades and brought in 6 players and sent out 4 players, or I don't know. That was the year when they brought in, Larry Nance and Jordan Clarkson and Rodney Hood and gave the Lakers the salary cap space to actually sign LeBron. And they've always did moves at the deadline. And LeBron rattled the cage this week after their performance against the Bucks, and the Lakers did nothing. Now, they didn't have a whole lot to do.
And why, Brian, did they not have a whole lot to do?
Well, I mean, we can look at this going backwards. We can look at this going forwards.
Well, No.
Going backwards is because LeBron's GM turn this summer was a total freaking disaster. An absolute disaster.
They traded all of their assets, basically, for Russell Westbrook.
Yes.
That's why they had no options today.
Russell Westbrook, he was picking those spirits up at the end of that Bucks game.
That is not the only reason why they didn't have any assets.
But it was the biggest reason.
Look,
it was a very large reason, a $45 million reason, I believe. Look, 44.
A year ago at the trade deadline, their evaluation was that it was not worth trading Talen Horton Tucker for Kyle Lowry. That was an evaluation mistake. Then they did the Westbrook trade, and then it was their evaluation that it was not prudent to re-sign Alex.
Well, I was going to say, let me pause you for 1 second, because I listened to our podcast the other night after the Westbrook trade, and you said that there were three things to evaluate to determine whether this would work for the Lakers. You said, what are they going to get in a potential sign and trade for Dennis Schroeder? What was the answer?
Zero.
That was, what were they going to be able to do with the re-signed contracts of Talen Horton Tucker and Alex Caruso? They obviously didn't sign Caruso. They couldn't get anything for Horton Tucker that they wanted to do today. And the third thing was,
was it their first round pick? Maybe.
Now I'm blanking on what it was. You had a perfect third point. I'm killing you.
First time in your life in Bond.
I know.
Remember?
I know it was.
I'm sorry. It was, what were they going to do with their mid-level exception? And what was the answer to that?
Kendrick Nunn. That's just bad. That's bad luck.
I'm not saying. Well, who has not played a game, and that obviously you couldn't have envisioned him getting hurt. But those are the three things that could have made up around the Westbrook deal for what their offseason was going to look like. And that's three strikes.
But when it comes to the Lakers front office, really the front office is Rob Pelinka and Kurt Rambis, because I don't remember what title Kurt Rambis has, but he is riding side saddle when it comes to basketball.
The front office pecking order is LeBron, Pelinka, Rambis.
I would argue Rich Paul is in there.
LeBron. And by the way, Rich.
Rich, I mean, I was talked earlier about how Daryl Morey won. Like, Ben Simmons, by the way.
Yeah. Ben Simmons and Rich Paul won today. 100%.
Absolutely. 100%.
He's in New York. He's in New York, and he's on a championship contender, and he's getting his paycheck tonight when the Nets play in Washington. And they'll fight over the money they find him, but we'll see how that goes. This isn't just about LeBron, you know, rampaging in and saying, wait a minute, forget the Hield trade. This is also about a misevaluation of the market and misevaluation of Alex Caruso. That's led to this. Yeah. Talen Horton Tucker twice, really.
They should have traded him for Kyle Lowry, and they should have picked Alex Caruso over him last summer.
Yep.
If they were going to sign one guy, which, by the way, they had the ability to sign both guys. They just chose not to do it for money.
Well, it's small market franchise. You got to make tough decisions.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and on the Ways to Win podcast, coaches Craig Robinson and John Calipari are here to help. Each week, Craig and Coach Cal use their on-court wisdom to solve your off-court problems. Whether it's trouble at home or a workplace dilemma, the coaches will help you find a winning formula for success. And you'll hear from prominent athletes, business leaders, and celebrities who reveal insights that made them into the leaders they are today. Like President Obama, who breaks down his bracket and talks about how he deals with pressure by projecting confidence, believing in your team, and taking criticism. Listen to Ways to Win wherever you get your podcasts. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems, but nothing on your roof. So who's ever up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-timey chimney sweeps, hoodie teenagers, barrel-sinking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish. But you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit directtv.com. Sign up today. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Yeah. So, I mean, I think the thing about it is like I could, in a world here, they would have Kyle Lowry making probably $20 million less. I think his salary with the with the Lakers.
Close
with the,
to that. Some 15, probably 15-ish. He's okay. Around it's like 27, 28 a year.
Okay. Significantly less than Westbrook. They'd have Buddy Hield. They'd have Alex Caruso. They'd have Lowry, Hield, Caruso. And they might still have a piece or two. Like maybe they would still have Kuzma. Maybe they'd still have Kentavis Caldwell-Pope that they could, in theory, either use or trade somewhere else.
Yep.
So when Rob Pelinka spoke to the media after the deadline today, I think the most important thing that he said was that LeBron and AD were aligned with their lack of action, which good job. Ooh, for, great. You know, good job for the, on the same page.
Do we know if that's true or not anyway?
That's like, what Rob Pelinka said. But
yeah, hey, LeBron and AD are aligned and we're past the point of giving
a crap.
Well,
I just mean, even if whether they were aligned or not, I mean, if he'd said they weren't aligned, that would have caused a firestorm. Like, I mean, that's a situation where, like, what else can he say?
I just want to say two things here. I think one, my speculation, keyword speculation, I'm not reporting this. My speculation is that the Lakers ownership in front office was like, we already paying a whole bunch of luxury tax dollars for this team. I don't know if we're making a trade to add more money for a roster that we don't think can make it. And two, we don't have much to trade. We have Talen Horton-Tucker, whose value is low right now. I'd like to point out his value is much lower than it was a year ago. And the first round pick of 2027, which they just didn't want to trade. And I think,
yeah. And then you ask, hey, does you know, basically saying Houston, you deal with Russ and try to buy that, handle that buyout. We'll take John Wall, who we've barely seen play basketball for 3 years, and give you an unprotected 2027 first round pick. Like, does that solve any problems? Obviously, yeah. They decided it doesn't solve enough, if any.
All right. So the other thing is, when LeBron was making those demands in Cleveland, both the first time and the second time, he was on short term contracts. When LeBron extended his contract, he wasn't able to put a player option into it. Long story short, the rules of the contract extension meant that when he could have opted out of his contract after the season, he was not able to do that. So he is under contract for another
year.
Imagine
where things would be if LeBron James could be a free agent in 6 months.
Right. Yeah. And so, like, I think I'm not saying that was a leading decision in the Lakers, but I'm saying that I've got to present that fact. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think LeBron is happy. I don't know if he's happy with this season. He loves living in LA. He's raised a banner at crypto.com arena. It's, you know,
he raised it at Staples Center, but you're right. You're not there.
You know, he raised it in Orlando at Disney World, quite frankly.
Oh, look, and look, the other thing too is at this point, I think we all agree there's really no move the Lakers could have made with Talen Horton-Tucker and Kendrick Nunn in a first round pick that was going to get them anywhere near top of the conference.
And that's why I think ownership's like, what? We spend a lot more money, give up assets you know, I think the thing
you could say in their defense is they're going to have $60 million. Like, let's assume Kendrick Nunn picks up his option. I would say at this point, it's probably likely he's going to. You've got Russ at $47 million. You've got Kendrick Nunn at $5 or $6 million. You've got Talen Horton-Tucker around $10 million. That's over $60 million in expiring contracts. And you've got two first round picks this summer. That's a lot of expirings and first round picks to go do something with that you can remake the roster. So
right.
I think waiting for that is much better than chasing good money after bad.
Plus, they might be able to trade Westbrook this summer. He'll be a big expiring contract. And frankly, if they trade Russ for three guys who are players.
You mean literally just do the reverse of what they just did 6 months ago?
Well, I mean, now Russ will be an expiring contract, so somebody may want to get off some money.
Yeah, I agree. Literally, that's literally what
trade
they did 6 months
ago. For
they
three guys.
Four rotation players for Russ.
I don't even think you need three rotation players. I think if you got 1.5 rotation players, it would be a win. Well, you know. So the other thing I wanted to talk about before we went, I thought the Boston Celtics, another team that you cover closely, Tim Bontemps, I thought they had a pretty decent day today.
I liked it more until about 2:55.
Let's say what they did.
So they traded Josh Richardson, Romeo Langford, and this year's first for Derek White, a move I really like a lot for them. And then they traded Dennis Schroeder, Enes Kanter, Enes Kanter Freedom, I guess I should say, and Bruno Fernando, he is free now, to the Houston Rockets for Daniel Tice. And I don't like, I know Brad Stevens liked Daniel Tice when he was with the Celtics. I know he can fit what they're doing. He signed for another 2 or 3 years. He was not playing for the Rockets at all. He didn't play well when he played. I thought it was strange that Boston basically just took that money and didn't get anything for it. I mean, I think they did the Rockets a pretty good favor getting out of that deal. I know
Tice hasn't played well this year, but Tice is a, I kind of like Tice.
Look, he's been a good player, sort of like that Thaddeus Young going to the Raptors. I think him getting a chance to play in a good team, I think he'll look pretty good with the Celtics, but they also basically gave the Rockets a get out of jail free card for free. I wasn't really enamored with them taking on all that long-term money. That said, I did really like the Derek White move. Like, Derek White, Marcus Smart, arguably is the best defensive backcourt in the league. And Derek White's a good two-way player. His shot's been a little off this year, but I like the fit with him going forward with Robert Williams and Jalen and Jason on the wing. And the other thing is he signed to a mid-tier, like $15, $16, $17 million contract through 2025.
And obviously they're
talking about paying these other guys a ton of money. That's a really important thing.
Real familiarity there with Ime Udoka, who was an assistant in San Antonio.
He was on the World Cup team with Marcus and Jason and Jalen a couple of years ago. Like, he's a good player. So I thought that was a pretty good move. But like I said, the Tice deal is weird, and they got a lot more expensive in the out years. It's going to be interesting. You know, let's see what happens with them going forward, because they committed a lot of future money today.
Well, and they also made another deal with Orlando that got them out of the tax. So they did this, and they stayed out of the luxury tax, and they
also have 5 open roster spots now. So they're going to be all over the buyout market for whoever's available. So we'll see.
By the way, let me just say something about the buyout market real quick. McMahon, I'm sorry, stepping on you. I know the Lakers think they're going to play in the buyout market, and I'm sure there's going to be some people, maybe like if Tristan Thompson gets bought out, who just wants to be in LA. If you watch the Lakers this week and saw how things are going, are you like, boy, I want to be on that roster? You know, I'm not sure the Lakers are going to win many competitions, maybe as they used to. I'm sorry. Go ahead, McMahon.
Well, I forgot what I was going to say, but it wasn't that important anyways. No, I mean, I was just going to basically ramble a little bit about Tice. Like, I get what Bontemps is saying. He'll be much better in Boston. Houston was just a weird fit all around. Whatever. It's not like it's a huge contract. One quick thing on the buyout market, though. Obviously, Dragic has been linked to Dallas since people were, you know, hoping he was going to get bought out this summer. You know, the ties, Slovenian, you know, won the Euro championship together. He's known Luka since he was in diapers, so on and so forth. I don't know if that's a sure thing. One, he's got to negotiate a buyout with the Spurs, and I'm not sure it's going to be the simple, hey, you know, we'll pay you everything but the minimum, go forward. The other thing is, like, I don't know if he has a role here in Dallas, and if he wants to chase rings, Milwaukee, Miami, some other places, you know, I think he might both have a bigger role and a much better chance at chasing a ring. So
if he wants to play, the Celtics would be an interesting fit too. Like, they, you know, they traded Dennis Schroeder today. I would be curious to see about that. That would be interesting.
Well, Miami, they did a little deal with Oklahoma City earlier this week that opened up a roster spot and bought them space below the luxury tax. He was not eligible to re-sign with Miami because they had traded him earlier this year.
But now he can.
Yeah, now he can. So, I mean, he's been in Miami. Miami's got a lot of guys in the rotation.
That's sort of why I think that probably isn't a likely option there. I do think to your point, McMahon, you saw the Milwaukee Bucks trade Dante DiVincenzo for Serge Ibaka today to get a big. They obviously haven't had Brooke Lopez. You know, they had talks about Dennis Schroeder. You know, if he gets bought out in Houston, I could maybe see Dennis there. He obviously was with Mike Budenholzer in Atlanta. And I, like you said, if Goran wants to play, that's an interesting spot for him to go play. You know, there's obviously, you know, Giannis would probably be on the phone recruiting him there. That's one I think to watch too.
Yeah. And look, obviously I'm not saying Dallas is not going to get him. I still think there's at least a decent chance. I just don't think it's kind of the slam dunk that.
Well, trading for Spencer Dinwiddie certainly takes away a bunch of minutes that he would have played. Like, that was my thought too. When they made that deal, I was like, that's kind of interesting given, you know, where things stood. Cause you sort of thought, all right, he's going to get bought out. He'll go be that other guy in the backcourt in Dallas. It made a lot of sense. Now, like you said, if he's not going to play, you know, makes you wonder what he might decide to do.
I will say this, Milwaukee, I still think I will put them as my favorite. And this week. They've been on the West Coast and they had kind of a messy performance in Denver. And from what I hear, they had a little meeting, the leaders of the team, and they were like, let's start playing. What do you say?
Yeah. How about we don't just keep it on cruise control into the playoffs and maybe like start trying to win games and get a good seed.
Absolutely throttle the Lakers and Clippers. Not that that's, climbing the mountain, but it was like, okay. And I don't even know if they'll be able to keep that same energy during the rest of the regular season, but it was just a reminder.
They're pretty damn good.
They're pretty good. But I will say, like, today was a loss for Milwaukee because the Sixers and Nets, in my opinion, both became a little bit more potent contenders. And the Eastern Conference playoffs, especially the Eastern Seaboard there, where Bontemps is.
I mean, listen, listen, you go through the list, right? You've got Milwaukee, you've got Miami, you've got Chicago. If they get healthy, they're going to be really good. Obviously, you've got Brooklyn and Philly. Toronto, by the way, has gone 16-6 in their last 22 games. They just added Thad Young. I think he's going to help them a lot. Mm-hmm. They're a really tough team to play. Boston is beating, they're playing all these crappy teams, but they're beating them by a trillion points. They just got Derek White. I think they got better today.
I like Boston's day.
They're playing really well. Like, you go down 7, 8, 9, 10 teams, Atlanta's playing much better now that they're healthy. Like, it's going to be hard to get out of the play-in.
Don't you leave
tournament.
Out those feisty Cavaliers.
Oh, I thought they overpaid for Kare. I forgot about Cleveland.
Hey, I thought they overpaid for Kare's LeVert, but he makes them better right now.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, look, I that was a complete oversight. They are really good too. Like, Evan Mobley and Jared Allen, Darius Garland, deserves McMahon's favorite player, gets in the All-Star game. I mean, listen, they're trying to get out of the play-in tournament is tough. Like, that's the thing I think people should keep in mind, especially when it comes to Brooklyn. Like, obviously, I think they're going to be really good with Ben Simmons, but it's going to take a little while to get Ben Simmons up to speed. Kevin Durant's still out. Kyrie still can't play in home games. Like, we could be in a scenario where the Nets are in, say ninth place going into the play-in tournament. And if they are, they're in a one and done game where, as of now, Kyrie Irving can't play. So, like,
no, ninth. Ninth place he could.
Yes, because they'll be at home in that game. Like,
oh boy.
And they could be playing Atlanta or Boston or Charlotte, like a decent team, like Charlotte, by the way.
I don't know, man.
Montrezl when Durant, today, when, like, Durant, we'll see.
When Durant comes back, I think the Nets are going to lift.
I think they're going to win plenty of games, but these other teams in the East are good, is my point. Like, it's not the West where, like, you're just guaranteed to get in the play-in game if you're basically ambulatory at this point.
Hey, there's a big fight for that 10 seed. A lot of moves made to get to that 10 seed.
All right. Well, McMahon's got to go to a press conference, and Bontemps has got to go to a Philly plays tonight, right?
No, tomorrow.
Oh, tomorrow. All right. Well,
tomorrow is today once people hear this. Go on.
Thanks for listening to the Hoop Collective podcast. Thanks for following along during the trade deadline. We're all happy it's over. We'll talk to you guys next week.
Adios, amigos.